We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Limmer, and Simon Bates in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you do make one feel welcome. Thank you so much. Lovely, warm audience. And welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we have three of our regulars, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams. And we welcome a guest, Simon Bates. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panellists to speak or try and speak on the subject that I give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And the subject that Ian Mester's thought of to start the show is luxury. 60 seconds on that subject, starting now.
Some people imagine it arrives from the city of Luxor, and it doesn't. It's from the Latin luxuria, which means a plentiful abundance. And when I was a young lad, I well recall the song, "Oh, that I lived on a pound a week in luxury." Now, of course, you couldn't exist on such a sum today. You would need considerably more. And we think of luxury as something awfully conversant with that which is opulent and plentiful in supply. And, of course, we think of reclining on velvet as opposed to a hard seat and of a lovely, beautifully sprung divan with merino blankets and the warm male kiss of bedclothes that so caress you that you feel there'd be no hard work at all in your life. You'd just be living as if in the land.
Well, what a luxurious way to start the show. Kenneth Williams starts it this week with the first subject and goes for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So he gets a point for speaking as the whistle went at the end of the 60 seconds, but also an extra point, a bonus point, for not being interrupted. Well done, Kenneth. And nobody... So at the end of the first round, Kenneth has 2 points and nobody else has yet spoken except me. So, Peter Jones, will you take the subject now? What I did today. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
This morning, I leapt out of bed and put on my tracksuit, ran round the park twice, and then went for the normal dip at Swiss Cottage Pool, where I did my 16 lengths, went back home, ate a bit of Ryvita, a cup of orange juice... read some Proust, and then it was time for my music lesson. I haven't been giving many of those lately, but there was one at 10 o'clock, a very apt pupil, whom I did my best for, and then after that I got down to the serious business of the day, which of course is helping other people. Like dogs over stiles and old ladies across
and,
the road.
You have been challenged. The first challenge of this show, Derek Nimmer. What
deviation.
Is
it? He was helping other people. He was helping your dog. A dog isn't a person.
In England, a dog is a person.
I think the audience reaction justifies Peter's point, so we'll let Peter keep the subject with a point for an incorrect challenge, and you'll continue, Peter, with 19 seconds left on what I did today, starting now.
Well, after that, of course, I woke up, and then I staggered across to the bathroom, splashed some cold water on my face, took 2 aspirins, and sailed down to dinner. I mean breakfast.
Derek never was, yeah.
Traditional breakfast.
Yes, you did have some breakfast before. Derek had a correct challenge. He has 4 seconds on what I did today, starting now.
What I did today was to get up very early and start weeding and killing slugs, which are in immense abundance.
And if there are anybody that listened to Just a Minute for the first time, let me tell you that if the whistle, when the whistle is blown by Messiter, it tells us that 60 seconds is up. And whoever speaks at that moment gets an extra point, and it was Derek Nimmo. So he now has 2 points, and so has Kenneth Williams. Peter has 1, and Simon has yet to speak. Derek, would you take the next subject, which is builders? Just a Minute, starting now.
One of the first builders, in fact, the very first, built the tomb for the great pharaoh Zoser at Saqqara near Memphis in Egypt. It was started off as a great tomb, just squared at the end.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
I think that would be interpreted as hesitation, Peter. So, you take over the subject of builders, and you have 38 seconds. No, not. There are 43 seconds left, starting now.
The relationship most people have with their builders is very like marriage, because first there is a contract agreed, followed by a brief honeymoon, and then the trouble starts. Now, if... that's dried me up. You shouldn't have clapped.
It's the awful thing. If you're successful in this game and you get a round of applause, it completely throws you off the track.
Yes.
And Kenneth Williams got in with a challenge.
Yes, well, I thought it was. It was rather drying up, wasn't it?
Well, it was, you see. And that, I think, is the only way to interpret it. If you're so successful, Peter, that the audience clap, and then you pause and can't get going, and you are guilty. So,
yes.
Kenneth, you
yes.
have a correct challenge. You yes. have 24 seconds. The subject is builders, and you begin now.
One thinks immediately of Mr. Cubitt and the wonderful work he did building those incredible houses in Belgravia and draining Pimlico, which was, up till that point, a marsh, and is described by Clun as the refuge of ne'er-do-wells, layabouts, and actors. I found that most interesting to read, and seeing those wonderful pillared porticoes, I thought about your soul.
Well, Kenneth really is in fine form tonight. There he kept going until the whistle went. Got an extra point for speaking as he did so. And, of course, he's now definitely in the lead. He has 4 points at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo's 3, Peter Jones is 2, and Simon Bates, who has yet to... No, he's just about to speak now. So, Simon, the next subject is brinkmanship. Will you begin with this one? You have 60 seconds, starting now.
The world of brinkmanship is very much a subject that's suitable for this show, because when you think about it, we have 3 experts at the art of brinkmanship. That is the art that the human being has mastered to step forward and plunge his foot firmly into his mouth at that moment when he thinks everything about him is going to go wrong. However, at the very last moment, he saves the situation by removing the foot from his mouth and...
Foot and mouth trouble.
Yes.
You swine, you're right.
Yes, there we are. Anyway, Simon, you kept going for 25 seconds, and it was Peter Jones who's now got the subject, and there are 35 seconds left. Brinkmanship, Peter, starting now.
Well, it means, I suppose, teetering on the brink. In my youth, I knew a number of girls who used to do this. Occasionally, they would take the plunge, but it wasn't very often. But...
Derry Nimmo challenge.
Fortunately, he hesitated.
Yeah. Well, having thought about those girls, I'm not surprised. There are 21 and a half seconds for brinkmanship with you, Derek, starting now.
Phrase coined by Adlai Stevenson about John Foster Dulles, bringing people to the edge of war, which is, of course, what we do on this program. You see, we bait Nicholas Parsons as far and as hard as we possibly can, but we draw back just in time so that he won't disqualify us and give war a point against us.
Simon Bates
has
a challenge.
I think very much.
Simon Bates, 3 seconds left. Brinkmanship with a point for a correct challenge, starting now.
Brinkmanship is the utterly terrifying...
Right!
Thank you, dear audience.
Thank you. Simon Bates kept going magnificently for 3 seconds and spoke as the whistle went, so he gained a point and he's now still in fourth place. And Kenneth Williams, we're back with you. Will you take the subject now of Queen Victoria? I'm sure you'd love to take Queen Victoria, but will you tell us something about her in the game, starting now?
Oh, what a century it's been. George III, Queen Victoria, we never had to sing Sic Transit Gloria. What innovations we've seen, a British transformation scene. The birth of Queen Victoria, the death of William Pitt, and then we won the Battle of Waterloo, which gave our island story a certain lift, you must admit. And if you don't, I do. With an embattled war in Crimea and even a little large and cheer the charge of the Light Brigade, no matter why they charge, and then those swine in China.
Peter Jones has
the most repetition of charge.
I'm sorry, Kenneth, I'm sorry. I know you're in full flood and full flight and all that, but Peter has actually challenged you.
What's that old fart doing?
What were you doing, Peter?
Easter. He used to have a mind. Why don't they take him home? Bring that chair on with the wheels and take him off.
You usually reserve those remarks for me. Why has it suddenly gone to Peter?
Well, it certainly has to use them somehow. I've come all the way from Great Portland Street, and I don't expect to be treated like a load of rubbish.
What is your challenge, Peter?
I can't avoid him being treated like a load of rubbish. It was a challenge. It was a repetition of charge.
No, I'm listening, Peter. He said charged and charge.
Did
he talked about the charge of the Light Brigade, and then later on he said about them charged. So I'm afraid it was an incorrect challenge.
I see.
So if we can wind Kenneth up again, he might yet go back on Queen Victoria with the same panache and style that he displayed before, and there are 32 and a half seconds left, starting now.
I read the biography of this great queen by Lady Longford, and I was moved to tears when we came to the scene which occurred in the palace, Buckingham, of course, with the death of the prince.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of course.
No. He didn't say of course before.
Right.
No, no, he often says it, but not on this
round.
No,
he did in the first part of it.
Yes, he did, I remember.
Yes, actually, he did. Yeah.
But as I'm chairman and I don't remember, I'm going to...
You're a very good chairman, don't worry yourself. Because you know what you're talking about. You've got natural authority, right?
Well, I'm on your side, Kenneth.
You can always tell a bloke who knows what's what.
Yeah, right. There are 20 seconds left with another point for you, Kenneth. Queen Victoria, starting now.
Contrary to the fallacy that's always been put abroad, she never said, "I am not amused." She frequently showed grave flashes of humour in the Highland Journal.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of great.
Yes, he did talk about something being great at the beginning.
Oh, that's great on the card, the great Queen Victoria.
No, it's just Queen Victoria.
It's on my card, great.
No, you've written it. You've written it down, then. Anyway, if you're going to bring your own cards in and write down your own subjects, you really are being a bit devious as well. No, Peter, I agree with your challenge on this occasion. There are 9 seconds left for Queen Victoria with you, starting now.
She was the great queen who made Anna Neagle famous. Or it may have been the other way round. In any case, the film which did depict the...
So on that occasion, Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. He's now in second place, 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who's still in the lead. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject... Will you tell us something about... There's nothing funny about that. It's a perfectly normal and natural... form of swimming.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, you can still say it, because...
I know, but it'll be boring, even more boring the second time round. Anyway, what can I do with a subject
well,
like that?
Well, you have 60 seconds, starting now.
It is a very boring swimming stroke, rather frog-like. Best to get a bosom pal to do it with you. And then you get very slowly to the other side of a very narrow pool. And then you reverse.
Kenneth Williams.
Very slowly. Two verys.
Two verys, there were, yes. I must admit that.
That's all right. So there are 46 seconds for you, Kenneth. You've got another point on a correct challenge. And you have breaststroke, starting now.
When the great Queen Victoria went out of her bathing machine in Rottingdean, she did the breaststroke. Now then, a lot of people said she was trained in this by her gilly, who was called John Brown, after which the song was written, "Do you ken John Brown with his coat so gay?" Because he was all coloured.
The Derek Nimmo challenge.
We had John Brown twice.
Yes, you've had John Brown.
Did you? Oh,
you
I think you're part.
And it was the song with "Do you ken John Peel" as well.
I apologise most humbly.
But I prefer to ken John Brown. I think that's nice. Right, there are 23 seconds for you, Derek Nimmo, on breaststroke, starting now.
The last time I did the breaststroke was swimming in the Sultanate of Oman from a silver beach out to some rocks on which there were lots of oysters. I trailed behind me a wonderful bottle of Meurthe Chandon champagne. When I got to these tiny sea creatures, I got a knife, had opened one, and ate it. Squealing, it went down my throat. It was the most extraordinary sound. And then I did the breaststroke very gently round the bay.
Oh.
What a thought, this oyster squealing down his throat. Derek, you were speaking as the whistle went. You gained the extra point, and you are now in second place, one behind Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones is two behind our leader, Kenneth Williams, and Simon Bates is three or four behind our leader. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is waterfalls. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The highest waterfall in the world is Salto Angel in Venezuela. It's over 3,000 feet tall. But my favourite waterfall of all, I suppose, is one that I saw on the South Island of New Zealand. I'd flown up by a little Piper Comanche aeroplane to the top of Mount Cook, and I transferred to a Cessna, and then we flew down to the Sutherland Falls. This waterfall, which cascades down some 20,000 inches, because I can't say the other word again, and into the snow, blew past to us below. It is the most lovely sight, and with a snow...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of 1,000.
Yeah, you're right. And Peter, you have the subject with 22 seconds. Waterfalls starting now.
A very charming one at Bettencourt and another in Llangollen in Wales. Very modest affairs, quite small. The water only falls in one of the places about 2 feet.
Derek Nimmo challenge. Yes, it was a national It only falls in one of the places. Sorry, Peter.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes.
So, Derek, you have the subject with 12 seconds. Waterfalls starting now.
The biggest waterfall in the world is the Gera in Brazil. And it is calculated that 1/5 of a second would fill the whole dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. So rapidly does the water flow.
Of course, getting it to Venezuela would be the problem.
Yes. So Derek Nimmo was once again speaking as the whistle went, and he's now taken the lead, one ahead of Kenneth Williams. Simon Bates, your turn to begin, and after the subject of brinkmanship, we have an even more serious subject for you to talk about this time. It is the sex life of a ping pong ball. So can you tell us something about that subject? For 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
It is very important to understand that the sex life of the ping-pong ball is extremely limited. The first problem is that nobody knows how to identify that gender which makes up the ping-pong ball's interest in another ping-pong ball. So first of all, we have to say that the ping-pong ball male differs in no way at all from the ping-pong ball female, which makes an enormous difficulty for any ping-pong ball that may happen to go out on a Saturday night and look for another ping-pong ball for a bit of scruffy on the side. If you are a ping-pong ball and you are pink, then a ping-pong ball that is blue may identify itself to you as being a ping-pong ball that is good for a bit of... I've repeated my bit off, haven't I? I knew what I meant.
I bet you did jolly well. You kept going for 43 seconds. Well done, yes. 17 seconds for the sex life of a ping-pong ball with you, Derek, starting now.
I would rather have talked about coupling cricket bats or are golf clubs bent than ping-pong balls.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, he's just given us two subjects he'd rather discuss, so he's deviating.
Oh, quite right.
I think that's a good challenge, yes. So, Kenneth, you have 13 seconds to tell us something about the sex life of a ping-pong ball starting now.
This was first commented upon by Ludwig Koch. Now, you remember, he spent a whole night playing ping-pong in the rain-swept forests of Peru and had to, perforce, put up an umbrella.
So, getting that extra point at the end, Kenneth Williams is now back in the lead with Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones a little behind, and Simon Bates trailing a little behind him. And, Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject for you this time is bath night. Will you tell us something about bath night in just a minute, starting now?
Bath night, that's right for me, because I spent one night in Bath, and that was quite enough. I can't tell you what a dreary little pretentious dump with those flower baskets in the street and all this awful brown stone everywhere. I was fed with it. Apparently its popularity arose from the fact that they thought there were waters there possessing some sort of medicinal quality. holidays, and people went with gout and all kinds of inflammations of the groin and sat in this water, all, I might add, to no effect whatsoever, but year in, year out, the fool...
Derek Nimmo, John.
2 years.
Yeah. Right, 17 seconds are left for Bath Night with you, Derek, starting now.
The Knights of the Bath, an ancient order founded by Henry IV, and they actually used to immerse themselves, baptize themselves, almost in a bath of water. This ceremony went on, in fact, until the coronation of Charles II. But what most of us think about this Bath Night is that lovely, jolly experience of going along.
Well, Derek Nimmo has taken the lead once again ahead of Kenneth Williams, with Peter Jones and Simon Bates trailing a little. Peter, your turn to begin. Peter, the subject is fibbing. Can you tell us something about fibbing in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I believe if you fib on a grand scale, then people are more likely to believe it. This was Hitler's theory. Not that he'd have done very well on this program. He was always repeating himself. But I suppose fibbing is a kind of minor juvenile type of untruth. It's usually condoned.
Of untruth.
That's a vocal mannerism.
I know, but you can't use those vocal mannerisms in just a minute, I'm afraid, Peter.
I don't know what I'm doing on this program.
Well, I can tell you're doing extremely well. Kenneth, there are 42 seconds for you to talk on the subject of fibbing, starting now.
I did this when I was very, very young, and the listener was said...
Peter Jones has changed.
He repeated said, very.
Yes, very, very young.
The third word he said,
very, yes. You were very, very young, you said.
Did I?
Yes, because you were doing that one of your characterizations. You said, very young.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, Peter's got the subject back immediately, so this is how you get points.
Ah, yes, yes, Peter. Right.
So you're surging ahead. And there are 37 seconds for fibbing, starting now.
I associate fibs and fibbing with white lies, things that are permitted when one is young or in a difficult...
Derek
Nimmo,
chap.
Definition of young. First, I was...
Yes, you did say young.
No, I said young before.
Derek, you have got in with 31 seconds, fibbing starting now.
Sort of example of a minor fib would be if I were to say that Nicholas Parsons is an intellectual giant. Now, one would not mind me saying that, but it would be an example of fibbing. And I'd be terribly sorry if you actually thought that I meant what I said, because in fact, he's an absolute total bounder and stupid and foolish youth. But that would be very hard and would not be a nice thing to say, so I won't say that. I will tell you that he is one of the most charming people that I've ever met in this whole wide world.
And the whistle stopped you from saying, but I'm now telling fibs. Right, so we didn't. It got a nice compliment in for once about me, and the audience clapped, which was very nice. Thank you very much. The 60 seconds, Derek was speaking, another point, and I think he's in the lead. Yes, he's a little ahead of Kenneth Williams, then Peter Jones, and then Simon Bates. And, Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is magnet. Will you tell us something about that attracting subject in the game, starting now?
To be attracted by a magnet, to be, that often brings to mind Nicholas Parsons' wife, Denise. I am attracted to her absolutely amazingly. She is the most beautiful woman, and how she's been married to that man for so long, I never know. But she is a magnet, not only to me, but all kinds of American producers. He told me about one. She has just been doing this film about the Wizard of Oz or something, and he's been around there by the minute. You see, she is a magnet, a very wonderful woman. But also, of course, one can think of Magnet Mountain, which in ancient legend, they used to say that when a boat sailed by, the nails of the ship were taken from it by the magnet, took them towards them. I don't really believe them. Then there was Captain Cook, who named an island Magnet, I-S-L-A-N-D.
And Simon Bates has challenged.
Hesitation.
It won indeed, Simon. Well done. Now you have another point for that. And you take over the subject of magnets, and there are 13 seconds starting now.
There are two things to talk about in terms of magnets. First of all, magnets as in magnetism, and secondly, magnets as in being attracted to somebody. For example, I am very attracted to Peter Jones.
Oh.
So Simon Bates was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has moved forward and remained in the same place that he was before. But Simon, it was your first time on the show, and as we've now reached the end, let me tell you that though you finished in fourth place, you did contribute a great deal, and we would love to have you as a guest. I hope you might return in one of our future editions.
I would love
it. Peter Jones, you finished in third place, just behind Kenneth Williams, who for so long was in the lead, but at the end he was overtaken, and this week our winner was once more Derek Nimmo. That you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again same time next week when once more we take to the sound waves of the air and we play this delightfully ridiculous game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.